Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, the Little Green Pasture. God bless you. It's so good to be back again, as always. Well, I'm going to begin by praying and inviting the Lord to be here. I know He is already here, but I always want to put Him before me and acknowledge His presence in all of this. Because you're not really here to hear from me. You're here to hear from Him. And this is truly for the thirsty and the hungry. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you and I thank you once again for another day, Lord Jesus, that you have given to me, that I can return back to you, Lord, having spent my talents for this day. Lord, that I would not just bury them in the dirt, in the earth, as one who doesn't know you, but that, Lord, these talents, Lord God, would become a fruitful bounty, Lord, that you would bless all the people that would be hearers of your word and doers of your word. Lord Jesus, you always say, whosoever is thirsty, come and drink freely of the river of water of life. But it's always and only for the hungry and for the thirsty. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would give me a fresh and present anointing. And that, Lord, that you would go before me in everything that I say, knowing that, Lord, I'm only a vessel. But as always, I seek to you, Lord, to reveal your own self in this imperfect vessel. And I thank you, Lord, for that word that says, for he preserveth the simple. Preserve me, Lord, in this word. And into your hands, I commit this entire message, including my own self and all that will ever hear for all time. In the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. You know, I came across a verse in devotion many years ago, and every time I come across it, I always look at one word that sticks out to me, and it's the word longing. And today I was in Psalm 119 studying this morning, and I was going over the entire thing. I read the whole thing in one sitting, but the older I get, the slower I go. And they're like drops of honey from the honeycomb and the little things that if we just slow down, we will recognize something that we haven't seen before. And all of this is truly by a flash of light by the Holy Spirit. And that word is longing, like I said. And there's only three places in the whole Bible, one in the Old Testament, they're all in the Old Testament. There's words longed for and longing and you know, there's all these different ways to say it, but the word is longing. And there's two other places that say longing, which means something that's ever happening. Something like longing means it hasn't been accomplished yet. It hasn't been realized. When it says longed for, David speaks about, and I have some scriptures I'm going to show you where he said he's looking. I have one scripture where he says he longed, and this is in context to remembering back when he had longed for something. And so I looked at that and I thought, because I just felt such this weight of the hand of God upon me. Usually I read through, I have different portions I read during my devotions, but I went no further. And there was such a command this morning, something I never really experienced except on the most rarest occasions. Because we have to be careful in devotions that we're not taking over. That can be easily done, where no, I got to read this and no, I got to read that. And then we feel like if we don't do it, then we're undone for the rest of the day. We have to be careful that we do not make devotions our idol. When we come into devotions, excuse me, we are coming to commune with the Lord. We're coming in for a union with Him, where we very much read slowly and we sit and we listen. I call it, as Amy Carmichael did, living by the well. But you know, the Lord is always someone who feeds. He's always feeding the hungry, and He's always giving thirst. Not giving thirst, quenching the thirst with living waters. But that word just stuck out so much to me, and most especially in this Psalm 107, 4 through 9. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Let me type something in here because I want it. So that has always spoken to me. Something is, and before I looked up anything, I feel like there's things we don't really necessarily have to look up, because we can pretty much figure out what words really mean. Even though they're synonymous with each other, there is still a difference one than the other. And longing to me, without looking up what the words mean biblically, not just the Merriam-Webster, but biblically, we can figure out the difference between desire and longing. But they have two distinct meanings. And so according to biblical, let's start in this way, that for us, a desire is something that is mostly external. And so I looked this up, by the way, so I get my information, because I want to be clear. I want guidelines. I pretty much know what desire is, but the desires, like we look at Psalm 37, where trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean on your, no, not that one, but in Psalm 37, it says that, we know the verse that He says that He shall give thee the desires of your heart. And so we can desire, says in Isaiah, I desired the Lord in the night. You know, then we see Paul use it. I desire fruit to your account, spiritual fruit. And my desire is towards the Lord. So desires are not as intense as longing, because there's many different kinds of desires. We can desire to break away and spend some time alone. We can desire something maybe we want to eat. And you know, you get what I'm saying. I don't want to give a list. You get what the whole desire thing is about. And spiritually, we have desires. We have desires towards the Lord, like I just said. But mostly, even in biblical interpretation, it's more distinctful of something that is external that you're seeing and something you are desiring. Whereas the features of longing are stronger. It's more of a stronger, persistent desire or craving for something unattainable or distant. It's filled with longing for home. There is a yearning. It's earnest or deep. It's an ache, a pining, panting, craving accompanied by sadness. There's a strong feeling of wanting someone or for home. And what was interesting, that the overarching longing, as I was looking through different places in my little research, is that it always, number one, first thing, with all those features, It points to two things: longing for a person, longing, or, you know, and people, and longing for home. And I thought that was very interesting about that longing. You know, the features of longing, just from what I read to you, are these. There's a sense of wandering, hungering and thirsting. There's a, your soul faints within you. There's a breaking within your soul at times. There's a pant, you're full of heaviness at times and groaning. There's trouble and distress, you have crying and tears. And this is so important as I connect this longing, because actually I don't connect it, God connects it. It said he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And when, have you ever longed for something? How about the people that lose someone to death? They long for heaven to see them again. They go through this life because they're still alive and they understand that their loved one went ahead of them into heaven, and it makes this life only nothing more than a passageway. And they are in it to do exactly what the Lord wants them to do. So when they finish their race, because they long to go home, because they long to see that loved one or their loved ones who have gone before. There's a longing in the believer. We long for heaven. We long to see the Lord. We long to see that beautiful heaven country. And while we're here, yes, in this body, yes. Oh, we do have longings, and they're so far greater than desires. Desires really connect more with want. I want that. And want is not always a negative thing. Sometimes what we want is something totally spiritual, something profoundly holy and beautiful that comes only from the Lord, for your family, for people you work with, for a future that you're looking at, for the hopes that you have. Yes, there are wants, and they are directly connected with the person of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. A longing is often expressed as a desire for God's presence, guidance, and blessings. Now, that's just something I copied and pasted. I basically said that because there's spiritual desires. There's friends I know that have spent some time alone and they've had to go back to work. I remember going, having to do that. And I had all this time to be alone with the Lord and to read his word and to walk through my house and pray. But hard times hit and I had to go to work. And I was so tired. I could barely keep my eyes open when I was reading my Bible. I was falling asleep during prayer. Yeah, I was longing, deeply longing, deeply cutting down into the depths of my very being. There was a deeper cry than just a want when I was doing it every day. It deepened my separating me from that time to be away with the Lord and to be alone and to be able to get up and walk around and say something openly to the Lord, or speak to him openly during the day and get into some good studying. And it was separated from me. Oh, I tell you, the longing became the deeper cutting prayer to the Lord. And I deepened, my faith deepened, my prayers deepened. I was hungry, I was thirsty, my soul fainted within me. I felt like I was just wandering. Distress and anguish took hold over me. Yes, it's true. You're probably thinking right now, though you're using a lot of words, but maybe you're going too far. I say, no, I'm not going too far, because that is exactly how it felt. And that is exactly how it feels. And I do not make devotion my idol. I leave it open. But see, that was just one expression. You know, there's other longings too, that can be longings for forgiveness or for healing or a sense of purpose and a meaning in your life. Oh yeah, there are longings. Yes, of course, the two top ones are to or to go home. We all know home is where the heart is. When you're out all day, you long to go home, but there's a different longing. What about the people who have been sentenced to jail or prison, or they've messed up somewhere in their life? They find some place far away and they ask, how did I even get here? And they long to return to the life they once had. You know, in Luke chapter 4, where Jesus goes into the temple and he stands up for to read, I talked about that last week. And he opens a book of Isaiah. He finds a place where it's written. And he says, the sovereign Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He talks about the five things that God sent him to do and to preach. And one of them was liberty to the captives. And I really thought about liberty to the captives because, you see, there's many people that are captive in something in their life. And the list is endless. If that's you, you know what you are a captive of. Captives long to be free. There's a lot of situations in this time in life. Maybe that's you. I've been in them. And it's endless. A bad marriage, a terrible friendship, debt. I mean, there is a longing for freedom. And freedom, I know I'm going a little rabbit trail, but I'm going with the flow. See, God put, it says in the word, and I'm going to get back to the longing, but it says in Romans chapter 2, verse, I believe it starts at 13 and 14, it says, for the Gentiles who have not the law, do those things which are written in the law. They're, you know, it says the law written in their hearts. They may not have known the law that the Jews had, but God, it's known by Paul the Apostle. It says that their consciences accusing them or elsewhile excusing them, that in another place they see the things of nature because God has a revelation of himself in nature. So that every human being is without excuse. Because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Basically, everybody is without excuse. Because even ungodly people know what's good and what's bad, and those are choices made. Life is one choice after another. So as he put the law is written in their hearts. That's what it says in Romans, that chapter. I might not have said it perfectly, but you can go to it. And it says the law written in their hearts. But you know what else I believe? That there is freedom God has put in there. That God means for everything to be free. When people were the people in the garden and all the animals, everything and everybody was free. But when sin came, they went under bondage of sin. And the whole creation and creature came into bondage in sin. And God is a freeing God. God wants you to be free. He wants me to be free. He wants everybody to be free from every kind of addiction, from every kind of bondage that they're in. He sets liberty. That liberty I thought about in connection with that. And that liberty is a freedom to break out and to go on and to fly and to soar like an eagle into heaven. You know, when those eagles are soaring up there, they're not flapping their wings. Their wings are being carried about by God's winds into the heights of his glory. And they are the soaring birds. And that's what he wants you to do in your life. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus has liberty for you as a captive. You know why? Because he sees your longings. He sees that you're longing for to be free. I mean, think about forgiveness. It says longing. I have my little note here. Can be a longing for forgiveness. I want to say this because this is so important and it has profoundly affected my life. There's been a couple of times in my life where I truly wanted forgiveness for a person. Like they totally hurt me. I hurt them, whatever. And there was no reciprocation of forgiveness. So I fully said to their face, I ask you to forgive me. And they just stood straight faced and there was nothing that came back from them. And though I knew I had done the right thing and my hands were clean and my conscience was clean, it's like I could see it was killing them to be able to say back to me, I forgive you, because they did not have forgiveness for me. Now, that's with them and I pray for them. But see, when you do not restore that person, there is something in them that never goes free. And even if they ask you to forgive them and you don't have forgiveness for them yet, forgive them anyway. Because what happens to them is you leave a piece of the arrow stuck in them. And that person goes on mourning and wishing and longing for a release from you. So if you have not forgiven somebody, though they've asked you to forgive them, but something in you forbids you to do that, that's something you need to visit. You need to pick up the phone. You need to go visit them. You need to go tell them, please forgive me for the silence and for not saying to you, I forgive you. Because you know why? Forgiveness is synonymous with repair. And you need to go make it right with them and stop leaving gifts on God's altar. How do I know? Because I have done that before many years ago in my life. It was when God just broke me by his spirit. And I knew, in fact, when he does it, you can't wait to go there, because if something is preventing you from saying, but they hurt me so bad. But have they come and asked you to forgive them? Have they? Then you need to go to them. You might be saying, but you don't understand. No, I do understand. I'd be 62 years old this year. I understand. And you know what? You want the Lord to bless you. You want to go forward and you want your longings. I don't know what it is, but I sense in my spirit that the longings of people that want your forgiveness, that your longings will be put on a shelf and impeded and held back until you go and you do the right thing. And when you do that, God will make you genuine for it because you obeyed the Lord. That's the main thing you're doing. If you think there needs to be justice, but you don't know what they did, look, there's people out there, the judgment thing can go on all day, and the forgiveness thing, and there's all these different levels. And I'm here to talk about the difference between longing and desire, but more longing, but it dovetails into what you're longing for. Okay, sometimes there's things that hold back your longings. And there's all kinds of longings. There's longings that are, you've been longing for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. You've been longing your whole life for something. But it says here, and I'll tell you this, I thought this much, because I've kind of almost felt like the enemy kind of suggested to me, Satan's word in the garden, doth God really say? And I say, yes, God does really say, Satan. Because I think this, that if it is enough for the Lord to put this in here, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, it's not just written for that time of history, but that's a today word. That's a now word. It says he satisfied. It didn't say he satisfied them and he filled them. And even if he did, I'd say, yes, but that same God that did that for them, he can do it for me. And there's something in the longing that blows past desire. Desire was the gate. The depths of the road are the longings. And the longings get deeper and deeper and deeper, but there's something happening in the soul of the longing soul. It puts you on this path that, in the sense, you feel that there, and it's very spiritual, but yet you can see it. And it's all about seeing. It is absolutely all about seeing. You see, God wants us to see him. He doesn't want us just to read his word. He wants to see. He wants us to see him in his word. not just to pass by and acknowledge, yes, that's Jesus. Look, we're who Jesus is the absolute epitome, the end all be all of your longings. And sometimes there are conditions. In fact, God has a lot of conditions. That's another topic that I could teach on and share. But he says he satisfies the longing soul. Not just, I have a desire of the heart. We're talking about when he satisfies the longing soul, as I showed you the features of longing, you're talking about it turns you inside out. I mean, look at here. There's a longing for things of God. David says in Psalm 119:20, my soul breaks. It doesn't just long, it goes into a breaking. Have you ever felt like your soul was breaking? I have. But has it been breaking for God? See, your soul can break for a restoration of a relationship. Your soul can break for your sick loved one. Your soul can break for the worst tragedies and terrible things that are happening in this world as you see things in this world. But does your soul break for the longing that it hath into his judgments at all times? Because I'll tell you something, you want God's judgments in your life. Your soul needs to break for God's judgments. And people are so afraid of that word judgment. Oh, every time I hear that word judgment, yes, God has some very well-deserved judgments. And he's the one who decides, and he's the judge of judges, and he'll judge according to the sight. According to his equity and his justice and his judgment. But he has marvelous judgments that he bringeth forth to light every morning. Amen. But does your soul break? See, the soul can go into all these different ways of deepening. In Psalm 119, again, he says, behold, I've longed after thy precepts. And he says, quicken me in thy righteousness. And there's a longing for the precepts of God. And the precepts of God are so many. Look it up. Look up what precepts mean. It's his workings, his marvelous workings in this world. And look at his past tense, like I said. In Psalm 119:31, he says, I opened my mouth and panted. I longed for thy commandments. Think about what David said. And again, he says here, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. I think we have piecemealed and hacked up the word so badly that there's no flow to it. Everybody's trying to explain what this means and explain what that means. Everybody's trying to do some kind of patchwork quilting and putting things together and then making it a cover that covers everything. But no, the word is alive. Jesus Christ, he is the river of life, and he means for you to long. Because in that longing, there is that depth of love of God. See, you long for what you love. You don't long for what you just desire. Desire is the gate. But you long for something that you see in the distance, that you see in eternity. You long for your children who are at war. You long for them to come home alive. You long for somebody that you haven't seen for 30 years that you wish and long to see them again. And your pets who have gone over what we call the rainbow bridge. I believe pets go to heaven. You long for them. And they are there. Longing, as I said, always firstly responds to a person or persons. In Philippians 2, 25 and 26, it says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all. And was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick, and that he longed, and he was heavy because he didn't want the people to worry about him. He longed after them all in the Philippian church. See, this is how those of us, not that you have some ministry, that's too easy to say, I have a ministry. Like Jackie Pullinger said, I don't have a ministry. I have a life. And so as we are alive, we are alive and we have these longings that are deeply, deeply, deeply rooted in the eternal love that knows no end, world without end, a love far greater than we could put into expressible words. And it is in that love that sets its stake in the ground and says, I don't care. I'm going up higher. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. It's been 30 years. I know God said he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul. See, there's a hunger that comes with longing. It says he'll do it. And if you are in a place of where you're praying for groups of people, or you're a mother and you're praying for your husband, or husband, you are praying for your wife and you're praying for your children, that longing, doesn't it? Tell me right now, doesn't it? You women and young ones, doesn't it? Doesn't it keep going down deeper and deeper and deeper? And yet your prayers keep reaching higher and higher and higher. That's what it does. And all this longing develops in you an ironclad steadfastness where you stop leaning on little minute devotionals and maybe somebody can pray for you, but there's something that's digging down that says, no, 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 I'm believing him to do it. I'm not listening to anybody anymore. I don't need to read this. I don't need to read this. I have his word. He's given me his word and I'm going to wait for it. Blessed is that person, that man, who both quietly waits and hopes in the Lord. Also in Philippians 4:1, Paul says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord. He says again, my dearly beloved. You see, it becomes a joy and crown to us. And I want to talk about that joy for just a second. You know, it says in Luke chapter 24, the very last verse, it says, for they went into the temple. It said that they were preaching. Well, I don't have it. It's the end. But after the disciples saw Jesus, it said, for they went forth preaching with joy. And then I see and saw in Luke 10:17, it says, the 70 disciples came to Jesus and said that they returned with joy, saying, we demons were subject unto us in your name. You know, Jesus, of course, he tells them, the most important thing is that your names are written in heaven. That's a byproduct. But you see, there's a different joy of the born again life. You see, they had a joy. They had a joy in his resurrection. The 70 had joy that they saw the power of God manifested over and against Satan that God gave to them. But see, that was before the death of Jesus Christ. When there was a born again, now you can be born again, there was joy that came in with the new life. You see, it's not a joy that you come out of your own self. So that joy in your crown causes you to stand fast, the love and longed for. Is your joy and crown. It gives you steadfastness in that love. You know, there are four verses of the word desire and greatly, earnestly. or earnestly and greatly and greatly earnestly. And, but that word, when they say greatly desiring and desiring greatly, means longing. I looked it up. And we have Lazarus the beggar, who was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He was so hungry. He was longing to be fed with the crumbs that fell because he was hungry. In Luke, it says, that was Luke 16:21. And then we see the longing for people in 2 Timothy 1:4, greatly desiring, longing to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. In 1 Thessalonians 3:6, Timotheus, he says, he came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, longing, says desiring greatly. But biblically speaking, it means longing to see us as we also to see you. And there's a longing for heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5:2, and I save this for last because I want to build you always up into the heaven land, to always point your way to heaven, because this is just a passageway that you're in. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:2, if for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Longing to be desiring, longing rather. There's a groan. There's a groan with longing. We groan within ourselves. I even think the creature is groaning. There's a longing for them, because a groan is absolute part of longing. And so it says here, longing to see you, longing to see us, longing to be fed with crumbs, longing to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And as I put them all together, I said, this is the outcome of the longing that God will answer. And these are the things: he satisfieth, he fills with goodness, he delivers, he fills with joy, he gives you joy in a crown, he leads you forth by the right way, he will cause you to praise him for his goodness, he will cause you to rejoice in his wonderful works, and then finally, he makes you go to the eternal city of habitation. You see, there's a difference between desiring and for longing, and the intensity, and the longer it goes, you will see what you longed for. I think of that old hymn, a part of that hymn from Be Still My Soul. It says, the thorny path leads to a joyful end, and the end of the righteous man is blessed. The Lord bless you, all you who long, for your longings will be satisfied, and you will be filled with all of his goodness, and you will never hunger again, and you will see the thing that you have believed Jesus Christ for. Amen. The Lord bless you.